Monday morning. Welcome to Out from the Cube. Getting a little bit of a late start today. It is mid-morning on Monday. And again, usually I try to get these done prior to Monday so they can be rolled out right around, you know, 5, 6 in the morning for you on Monday. As we do have people from now that have reached out to me from the other side of the world that have given me some great feedback and been very kind to me. And so I know that people on the other side of the world, their day is already rolling and their Monday commute has already ended. So they're already in the office. So again, I appreciate it. I hope you all had a great weekend. In the States, we are celebrating President's Day. So it's a little bit slower of a day for me as I'm kind of laying around, getting my kids all organized and they have the day off of school and just making sure we have a good productive day. So hope you all had a great weekend. I actually, if you're interested, had probably one of the best weekends that I can remember having in quite some time, really centered around basketball. I'm not going to go into great detail or length about it, but it was a phenomenal weekend for me. I was fortunate enough to go to Lawrence, Kansas this past weekend. And if you know about Lawrence, Kansas and the University of Kansas that is there, that is the birthplace of basketball. And if you have spent any time listening to my podcast, you know that I am a basketball fanatic. I've spent maybe, you know, 12, 13 years coaching basketball and continue to coach my kids and a number of kids in the community here and around the St. Louis area, and do that almost every day. So basketball is a huge part of my life. I watch it every day and think about it most of the day and have a good time with that and the connection it does for me and my kids and some of the friends that I have. But anyway, so Kansas, the University of Kansas, is the birthplace of basketball. Dr. James Naismith invented the basketball there, was a student there, and a number of people that are influential in bringing basketball to its current state are from there and were a part of Dr. Naismith's developing the game of basketball. But anyway, I was fortunate enough to go there this past weekend and watch Kansas play West Virginia University, and I have literally never experienced anything quite like that. The museum, the atmosphere, 16,000-17,000 people all on their feet, a majority of the game supporting that team, and just a history of basketball. Man, it literally, at one point, if I would have let it continued emotionally for me, I would have been brought to tears. And that's not a joke. Like, I was right on that line of saying, whew, I am about to cry. Like, this is really profound and really hitting me. It was really unbelievable. And really, when that happened, it was the introduction of the starting five for the University of Kansas. When they put on the board, you know, Dr. Naismith inventing the game and Wilt Chamberlain and these other people that have come along, man, it really grabbed you. It's really something. I hope you all had a great weekend. I did. Got back late last night and got back in enough time to actually spend some time with my kids on the basketball floor. And we had a game yesterday late afternoon. That was great. So, again, appreciate you listening. Appreciate your time. And appreciate the support that everybody has given the podcast. This is going to be, to start this off, again, I don't have huge plans and a huge prep in some of this stuff. But I wanted to start with this story. It is a basketball story, but hopefully the story resonates with you. Three or four days a week, I am a split family. I am a divorced father of two, and not apologetic about that. It is my story. At one point, it was very, I guess sheltered from that, was very embarrassed by that and things of that nature. And now I'm not. It is my story. And I feel that I shouldn't be ashamed of where I'm at, what I'm doing, the direction I'm going, and what has happened in the past. It's who I am. And that really, that mindset has really come from my friend Jason Wells that we have on Fridays, where he was like, hey, share your story, tell your story. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed of your story. Your story is yours. And there is somebody out there with a similar story that would want to hear about you and your story and your perspective on it, whatever it is. I'm not turning this into anything relating to that. But because I only have my kids a certain amount of time, I do have them half the time. I actually see my kids every day. But as far as them staying in the house and things of that nature, it's half the time. And I just bring that up simply because when I have them in the mornings, we actually do basketball. We work out in the mornings before school. And the boys have done that since they've been like 5 or 6, since they started kindergarten. that we do something in the morning, whether that be when they were younger, maybe 15 minutes, to now when they're 9 and 10 years old, where we spend 45 minutes. But anyway, now I have a friend that drops his children off at my house about 6:30. And so from about 6:40, when they get here and we get all organized and my kids are all ready for the day, from 6:40 to about 7:20, we quote unquote work out. And I take them through a variety of drills. When the weather is good, we are outside around a basketball hoop, actually shooting and doing moves around the basket and learning how to come off screen, whatever it might be, right? Whatever strikes me that day. I do not plan it out. But when it's November, December, January, February, those 4 months in St. Louis, it is too cold to go outside. So what we do is we go to the basement. And when we're in the basement, all we do is dribble the basketball. Now, this does have a point. The story does have a point. But I want you to imagine now four kids in the basement for 45 or so minutes every morning, that every morning when they are available, dribbling the basketball. So this is last Friday, you know, 3 or 4 days ago. I decided that instead of us just dribbling the basketball, we are going to put them on a clock. So now you're going to do this drill, this dribbling drill, you are going to do, and you are going to do it for 20 seconds. I want you to go as hard as you can. And I am now, you're going to partner up. One person will do the drill, the other person will watch. But you're not just watching. You are counting how many times they do the move, or how many times they dribble, or how many times they do the drill, right? And you're going to do it for 20 seconds. And I want to see how many times you can do it. Now, you have to understand, there is a point to all this. I hope I haven't lost you yet, but I want you to imagine that process. So we did that for 45 minutes on Friday. It was, without question, over the last 4 months, the best workout we have had, because now it's a competition, because now it's being measured, because now there are results. Now there is something public. Granted, it's four kids and one adult. My son, my youngest son, I don't have to get after that much in terms of work ethic, getting after things. He just kind of performs and works to get better. My oldest boy, my 10-year-old, will work at the line that is kind of acceptable. And even if I get after him really hard, he shuts down a little bit, sometimes a lot of it. So it's hard to keep him going. It just is. And it has been November, December, January, February. Those 4 months, sometimes, not all the time, sometimes is a struggle with my oldest to work hard, to understand it's, you know, that this day matters, this 45 minute matters, what we're doing matters. Like, and you have to understand, basketball to me is a microcosm of life and life skills and life values and all that. That is how I approach it. It is not just basketball. It is, hey, you got to wake up and grind every day. That this 45 minute workout, how much are you going to improve? Well, not much, Dad, right? Right? But if we parlay that over 4 months, how much could we improve just on these simple things? Well, quite a bit. So here, now I'm getting sidetracked, but it's not basketball. This is not just basketball. So keep that in mind, because I tell, this is all the kids I work out. It's not basketball. We are working out, let's just call it 30 minutes a day. And let's say we do it 3 days a week, because we don't have the kids every day. They're working out an hour and a half on basic dribbling. Do you understand? An hour and a half. That's not going to get them that much better per week. It gets them better, but not that much better. But then I've told the kids, this is exactly what I tell the kids. Hey, gentlemen, if I could have you dribble at a high intensity, incredible focus, correctly, like you're not doing it wrong, you're actually doing it correctly, and I could have you do it correctly, focused, and powerful, and hard, and all that sort of stuff, and I could have you do it for 24 straight hours without a break, how much better would you be? And I get the group. It could be one person, and I've had 50 people. How much better would we get? Wow, coach, we'd be amazing. We'd be amazing. I think we would be unbelievably better. I'm like, okay, perfect. We've all agreed that focused, concentrated, correctly performed work will get over a 24-hour period, will get us to amazing levels and amazing outcomes and results. We all agree to that, correct? Yes. Perfect. We're going to work out 30 minutes a day, and we're going to do it 3 days a week, and we're going to do it over the next 4 months. And it's going to be intense, highly focused, correctly done. All these things. That, do you know what that adds up to? Do you know what an hour and a half a week over 16 weeks adds up to? It adds up to 24 hours, right? And all I'm asking for is 30 minutes, because we all agree that we can't do 24 hours, correct? We can't sit here for 24 hours and hammer these drills out without eating, sleeping, going to bathroom, being just fatigued and focused. Like, we'll lose all that. We lose it all really after a minute and a half. That's why our dribbling has to be intense for a minute and a half of small chunks so we get better. And they all agree to it. So now we're about to end in February, and it has been up and down. Now we're about to end in February because now it's starting to warm up, and we will be outside. So our deliberate focus of 4 months of intense ball handling and dribbling in the basement's about to come to an end. And those kids now have 24 hours of it. When they all agreed, man, if we could do 24 hours, we would be so much better. What in the world does this have to do with us and our business and our teams and our personal development and crushing it and doing all this other garbage? It all has to do with just chunking it up and understanding that me getting up at 5:30 and taking a whole bunch of notes and reading a book and maybe intersecting with my team and making maybe small adjustments to the dials on how my team works and communicates and collaborates and how we connect with the business and how I as a leader or a CEO end up getting my team together and taking one guy, like, that stuff may not matter this week, right? And we all know this. This just came into my head. You know, all these money books that I try to read and try to understand. And listen, I am not a big financial guy. Like, I don't understand all that stuff. Luckily, I have people around me that do, that, so I don't have to. But I do know this. Everybody talks about, like, compounding things, putting money into this because if it compounds, you may not see that $100 be much come June 1st. But June 1st, 2024, June 1st, 2030, and if that sucker continues to compound, that $100 may be worth something substantially more. But we're not willing to do that in our own careers, and we're not willing to do that on the teams we're on, and we're not willing to do that to the people that we are leading. Here's the main point of this story with these kids in the basement at 6:30 in the morning. But here's what you have to do with your teams. This is just my opinion, and there's many things we have to do with our teams, but here's something that has just really entered my mind, and I have thought about Friday morning, 6:45 in the morning. I have thought about it a lot over the last 3 days, because you should always be an analysis on how you can get people better and how you get your teams better and how you can get them to perform and be fulfilled and have that and develop the confidence that they can do it over and over and over again. You should always be thinking about that. Now, these are kids, but you know what? They're my kids, and they're really passionate about getting better at that game. And I want them to understand that's how life works. You want to be great at something? Invest the time, invest the intensity, invest in doing something correctly, and invest in it so you do it every single day and get out of the middle that we've talked about. So here's what happened. I would just, for November, December, January, February, and most of March, I would have my clock out, and they would go 20 seconds on a drill, 20 seconds, three sets of 20 on this drill. Two sets of 20 on this drill. And everything was sets of 20 with like 10, 15 second breaks, right? And then we just go, go, go. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not. And then as the leader, I would get frustrated because I couldn't get them to consistently give the effort that was required to improve. And it frustrated me. And on many occasions, not many, on some occasions would frustrate me throughout the day because I'd be sitting there going, how can I reach them? mostly my kids. How can I reach them? How can I get them better? How can I have them understand that you have to put the work in, that you got to always be focused? How can I get them to understand that it's 30 minutes of their time and I'm not asking them to do 8 hours, just small chunks? So last Friday, and I've already said this, it was 20 seconds, but now a partner was counting how many reps you did, how many times the ball pounded, how many times you went between your legs, how many times you went over a cone, all that. Now it was a competition. And subsequently after that, without question, after 4 months, that was without question our best workout, our best performance. Like not even close. And I was pissed at the end. And I told them so as much that I was pissed. And I was pissed at me as their leader, as their coach. Because I had wasted, not really wasted, nothing's a waste. We could have done better had I done something like that earlier. Now, what's that have to now? So now you know the whole background story. But here's my mindset. Man, I put them on a clock. I had them do it correctly. I had them do it intensely. I had them focused for a short amount of time. I made it a competition and I measured it. I measured it. You can measure their improvement. And here's what I told them. Next year when we do this, because we've done this now for 3 years, so I know we'll do it next year. Next year, with this huge mirror that I have down in my basement, I'm going to write down every single day that we work out what they do. How great would it be? Now, understand this. This is business. This is your team, and this is you as a coach and as a leader. And as a CEO or as a sales exec, like this is it. Because I'm sitting there, I have a seventh grader who really wants to be good, who has, to be honest, a ways to go, and that's all right. He knows that. I have a fifth grader that is just getting going and is behind, just behind to be like really contributing to a team and all that. So it is like he is having a hard time just dribbling. And I have my kids that have been doing this a while, but still have a long ways to go. That is the group. So think about your team. Boy, I've got the senior sales executive. I've got the guy that's straight out of college that is just learning how this works or how cold calls or how to close, how to sell, how to talk, how to communicate, how to persuade, how to, you know, influence, whatever it might be, right? Like I've got all these new people. And here's my mindset. To the fifth grader that is just starting and struggles doing any dribble, which is fine. It's absolutely fine if he doesn't know how to dribble. Because when we started in November, he couldn't do any of those dribbles. Wouldn't it have been great to have written down where he was? Hey, buddy, at this drill, when we started November 1st, you got two dribbles in 20 seconds. Two. It's November 14th, 15th, 17th, 18th, February 18th. Do you know you do that drill 25 times now? Do you realize, look at where you were 4 months ago. And you just did it 25 times. Hard, intense, focused, correctly, with purpose. Like, do you not think that it makes that fifth grader feel so much better about himself? Now, this is not a basketball skills and drills podcast. It is a personal development, leadership, like all this sort of stuff just to get you juiced up. And I'm now thinking about my life. I'm thinking about my life, my business, my clients, all this sort of stuff, the team that I'm with. And you need to think about all that with the people you're with. Because I spent the whole weekend trying to figure out how I could get those kids better. And I was regretted that we have spent 4 months getting better, but to use the quote in all my books from this past week, we didn't 10X it. We did not 10X our development. We may have 3X'd it, and that's substantially better than the other kids in the community or the other players in St. Louis or around the Midwest that didn't do any dribbling. We got 24 hours of dribbling in. Man, it would have been nice if we had 10X'd it. So one is you don't beat yourself up about it. Two, you learn from it. Three, you write it down so you can remember it. And for you, we've got to be able to execute on that stuff next year. And we've got to continue. Now, whatever we do moving forward, we've got to figure out how to measure it and make it competitive. Right? Now, you have to be aware of who you have on your team. Sometimes competition may not be the best thing. There are people on our team with where we work, probably. I don't know this for certain. That competition may shut them down. Right? But maybe not competing, but measuring improvement and not comparing. Right? The phrase we've used before is you don't compare, you compete. You've got to learn to compete. This is just my belief. It's not for everybody. It's for some people, I know that, but I believe life's a competition. I believe that my 8 and 9 year old in 10 years are going to have to go out and compete for jobs. They're going to have to compete for grades. They're going to have to compete to get into college. They're going to have to compete for sales and to contribute. They're going to have to compete. And they're going to have strategies in place to understand what competition and what I've written in my notes, what winning looks like. What does winning look like? And I believe we are competing. So I understand people are going to say, I've had conversations with people because of the podcast where we've gone back and forth about how they don't like the competition. That's fine, right? But there has to be something intrinsic in you to push you forward for you to get the feedback, the motivation, the inspiration to do better. And maybe it's not sitting around saying, well, I dribbled the ball 20 times and he dribbled the ball 18 times and I was better. I won, right? It's the mindset of, it's got to be this mindset. And I'm not saying that's great even for my oldest kid may not even respond to that. But you know what my oldest does respond to? Shit, 10 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, I could only do that 20 times and now I'm doing it 32. And the smile on his face. And the mindset being, man, if I just work a little harder, I could maybe get to 35, 38, 42, right? I could really hammer this out. So maybe that's how you have to phrase things and think about things with your team. My mindset is this, and how this kind of changed me and what I'm thinking about with the teams that I work with and the groups and even our own company is, one, how can we figure out a strategy so everybody gets inspired and motivated to do the best that they can do so it's not next week, but it's June 1st. Where can we be? What's it look like? How have we improved? How have we gotten better? How are we able to contribute more? How can we provide more value? How can we have a happier client? How can we have a happier workplace? How can people feel like they're contributing? Like all that sort of stuff. How can we do it? How can you really sit back and evaluate and analyze what June 1st is going to look like for you? Right? Because I do it with the groups. I'm just going to be honest, like just to stay with the basketball metaphors. Like I think about that with my kids. They're passionate about it. They want to be the best they can be. I know something about that game. I'm willing to invest my time so they get better. I've got to figure out strategies so they can reach their goals, ambitions, outcomes, and so how they can provide more value, contribute, and have more confidence. Confidence comes from repeated work. Over and over again correctly. So for the fifth grader that's just starting out in basketball and just dribbling, and he feels he provides no value, no contribution, no success, nothing, no confidence. Really, where I can sit at him and say, hey, buddy, you know what? You just spent 24 hours dribbling a basketball in my basement on basic dribbles. Do you know what else happened this week? I love this stuff because it's not, I hope you are not just taking this as basketball, but you know what else happened this week? That same fifth grader that wasn't providing much value, much contribution, had zero confidence, was not as good as other people. His coach, which is not me, but his coach on the team he plays on, came up to him last week and his mom and said, hey, buddy, you've become probably the best dribbler we have on the team. And you know how he lit up? You know how his mom's face lit up? You know how they sat there and said, man, you have become one of the best we have. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. It's not basketball. That should be you as a leader. That should be you developing confidence in something maybe you're not that great at. And doing it over and over again and doing it correctly and being absolutely focused. Tim Ferriss, and I've said this in other podcasts, says you can become world class at anything in a year. If you have unbelievable focus, you learn how to do it correctly, and you do, and you're consistent with the work. World class. World class at any skill that you want to develop. So if you're sitting in your cubicle and you want to get good, or if you're into sales or you're into whatever, and that you want to provide more value, it's one, this gentleman last week, I want to say it was Tony Watley, in one of our podcasts on our Friday episodes with guests, says he doesn't have a whole bunch of priorities per quarter, per year, or whatever. He isolates on one, the priority. And that's what Tim Ferriss is saying. I've got a ton of things I want to knock out and be accomplished at and crush. And maybe that's too many, right? Maybe I need one and I focus on just that. Maybe it's just different strategies around building the podcast, because the podcast is growing so well, and just staying locked in on that and making sure I focus on being, you know, better at this, right? It could be a variety of things, but I do know this, you got to put the time in. You've got to put the time in. So I hope that, I know that's a basketball story, and I hope that you, I hope that hits you a little bit, because it hit me this week. And it really hit me hard, and not in terms of basketball at all. It really hit me hard in terms of the people around me, the people I'm coaching, the people at our company, the executives that we kind of work with, the business people we work with, the IT teams we work with and coach and consult. Right? We are very much believers in this agile mindset and agile principles and how to build software and the companies we work with and things like that. Like, that is something that we do well, and it's something we do often with as a company. But the whole agile, one of the principles in the agile mindset, and I don't know if it's written down, I don't know it at that depth to be able to rattle off all these 12 principles of the agile manifesto or whatever it is. Right? But I do know that you measure as much as you can. You measure the improvement. You measure where you're at. You measure velocity. You measure how much work can get done. You put it into small batches where it's focused and concentrated and deliberate, and you focus on that. And then you knock that stuff out, and then you reevaluate where you're at. What can we get better at? What can we do more of? What should we do less of? It's the same thing. Like, hey, we're going to do 20-second increments. I'm going to start that clock, and let's just see what we do and how we do it, and just stay focused on being correct and hammer that stuff out. And then at the end of the workout, the end of the week, the hour, end of the hour and a half, we're going to sit and let's just evaluate what we're doing. What do we need to get rid of? What can we do better? It's the same stuff. It's the same stuff, and it works. What if I just told those kids, hey, here's the deal. I wrote down on the board downstairs 20 drills. That's the dribbling, the dribbling drills I want you to do. I want you to go downstairs and go do them. I want you to do it. And so they show up every day and they just go down there and work. And then come November 28th, I hope they're better. I hope they did what they were supposed to do. But what about having that coach with them all the time? Coach with them all the time. Hey, do this. You can do it better. Here's how it should look. Here's how it should feel. Here's how it should sound. Whatever it is, right? Boom, hour and a half. Like every 20 seconds, giving them correct. You know, slowly after time, you don't have to correct them that much. You don't have to say, hey, here's how your feet should be. Here's where your hand positioning should be. Here's where your eyes should be. Here's how your chest, knees, and your stance should be. You don't have to say that stuff anymore, because they've done it over and over and over again, and you corrected them the correct way to do it. Now, all of a sudden, they don't have to do it. Now, but now you're sitting there, and you're just timing them and encouraging them and giving them feedback, you know, decisive feedback. It's the same way software teams or business teams or sales teams should work, in my opinion. And you can measure it, gamify it, have them compete against each other, right? But it does no good to have my fifth grader that's just starting out compete either against a seventh grader that has been playing for a while, or even another kid that's a fourth grader who's younger than him. It doesn't matter. That's been doing it since he's been four and is now 10. So 6 years of it. So you got to figure out how to keep that. If he sits there and competes against the seventh grader, man, he's going to feel defeated every day, especially if you keep bringing it up. And you sit there and say, buddy, you're competing against this. You're competing against yourself and your improvement from yesterday or last week or when we started November 1st. That's where the competition is. The competition is against yourself and your improvement. You can't do anything about where your brother is as a seventh grader. Shit, he's been doing this since he's been 5 or 6. He's 12 now. You just started. So let's measure you about where you were yesterday. Let's measure you where you were against November 1st. If you don't think that's your team and you're selling cars or shoes or software or products or building software and all that, and you're trying to get people going, or you're trying to build and keep people competing or measuring against themselves, what about the guy that just can't do certain things in sales or in software, and it's just writing code, whatever it is, and you sit there and you come to his cubicle and you say, hey, listen, you couldn't do that a month ago, and I've been watching it, and we've been evaluating and talking about it and doing X, Y, and Z, and that stuff that November 1st, you couldn't do, and it's February 28th. Remember when you couldn't do that? Remember when you couldn't provide that value to what we were doing, and now you're running it? You're running these meetings. You're talking with that client. You're being, you know, more ambitious and solving X, Y, and Z problem. Remember when you couldn't do that, and now you're knocking it out of the park? And remember when you couldn't even really stand up to old Billy Joe in the next cubicle over, and he was so much further, and now you're doing it? Wouldn't that make somebody feel great? Wouldn't that make, and it's not basketball, and you're measuring it. Remember when you used to only get this many sales? Remember that? Remember when it was like once a month, once a week? Remember when you couldn't close, or you had a hard time asking those questions, and now all of a sudden, because you've adjusted these dials, you've developed that much more confidence. You've developed that much more of a strategy. You've developed that much more competitiveness to want to be the best you can be. Now on February 28th, you're getting 5 a day, and it used to be once a week. And you're getting 5 a day? You should feel good about yourself. Could you do that on November 7th? No, but we keep grinding it out. We kept grinding it. We kept fine-tuning. We kept dialing in. We kept adjusting the dials. We stacked up on what you were good at. We call this in basketball, we were skill stacking. Man, we started super simple. Then it got a little bit harder, but we stacked the skills. We skill stacked. Here's a phrase, to pivot a little bit. Here's a phrase that I thought was really good. And I really like this a lot. There last week there was a 10X conference put on by Grant Cardone that one day I would just like to go to it. I have interviewed 3 or 4 people in the past couple weeks where that is their goal. I'm going to be on that stage. I'm going to be on the 10X stage, and people are going to, and I'm going to be super passionate and knowledgeable and inspirational, and I'm going to lead people to action. It's going to be this amazing thing. I've had people tell me that, and I think, and the people I'm interviewing, I'm like, shit, I think they're going to do that. I think it's that they're that good, that dynamic, that actionable to knock something out like that. And I hope they do it. Right. But the 10X conference, my goal is I just want to go, because that's an expensive deal. I'd like to go there and meet people. So, you know, I think that'd be great. If anybody who's listening wants to go with me next year, or I don't know if they do it quarterly. I know last year, I think they did it in Vegas, and this year they did it in Miami, which was closer to Grant Cardone's home. He has a home down there, and that's why he wound up doing it there. So, but this phrase, it's about 10Xing everything. I had Rob Creasy on my podcast a couple weeks ago, and he said the main thing that he took away from the 10X conference, one is speed, about how fast people move that are at that level. But he said it was very impactful, and different things that he's learned from Grant Cardone is this, and I need to get more into Cardone's stuff. But the mindset is, this guy had a goal of, you know, $10 million. You know, like my company, I want to make that much money. And then if you 10X everything and go for that, I think it was like, he should now be 50 or 60 million. So he changed his goals. He 10X'd everything. He 10X'd everything. Right. And so I don't know too much about, you know, the strategies and formulas and bullet points and mindsets and things to consider and the actionable items that you can come away with that Grant Cardone or whomever is a part of that conference and that mindset is, you know, putting out there. I don't know. Right. I'm slowly getting into that more where I can start doing more of that and start coming up with those strategies. But I do want to 10X things, you know, so we've talked about that as a company. Like, hey, we can't be a 10 million. Like, our goal should be to be a $60 million company and have these type of clients. And this is what our clients look at. And these are the phone calls that we take. And this is what people say about us. And this is how we deliver to our clients. And this is how our business has changed a little bit, not how it's changed. This is how our business has been enhanced and the different strategies and formulas and goals that we have as a company. This is how it's all changed. And we're going to 10X that stuff. But this, so that is the background on kind of this phrase that I really like. And I am really focused on 10Xing some of these things. And I'm going to give you the 10X. This comes from, if I can find it here in my notebook, this comes from, I believe it was Tony Robbins, and what you should consider 10Xing. These are the different verticals, and I'm just throwing it out there. You write this down or go to my LinkedIn page to see my notes for the week. But if you look at your body and your health and your emotions, your relationships, time, let me go slower because I know people say I talk too fast. But this is what I wrote down. Like, man, I've got to figure out how I can 10X these eight things or seven things. My health and my body, my emotions, the relationships in my life, how I use time, my career, my finances and money, and then my spirituality. Like, those were the things that Tony Robbins said we should really focus on. Everything is really kind of slammed into that stuff. How can I 10X my relationships? Not just have a better relationship. Not just have better relationships with a significant other, with my kids, with my community, with, you know, my ex-wife, like whatever it is, right? I want to 10X all that stuff so it's amazing. It's not okay to just have it be okay. It's not just, I want to have amazing relationships or my health. 10X all that stuff. So that's my mindset, right? But let me also say this. Here's the phrase I have. I don't know what page it's on here in my notes. But I'd like to find it just to get it perfect. But I may not have that here. But it's not just 10Xing your life. You have to also have the mindset of 10Xing the lives of the people around you. So let me say that again. It's not just having the mindset of 10Xing your life and doing all this Grant Cardone stuff, but it's also 10Xing the lives of the people around you. It's right here. 10X your life, but 10X the lives of the people around you. And I'd say anybody, right? Because my initial thought was, man, my kids and my community and, you know, my mom, like my brother, like all these people, right? How can I 10X their lives? What about everybody you come into contact with? I've heard this story, right? The things that popped into your head. Regardless of what you think of Tim Tebow, and I have not really met anybody that doesn't like the guy. If you don't know who Tim Tebow is, he played college football at Florida. Some people say he's one of the best college football players ever. He was a left-handed quarterback that was not a great quarterback, but was just a great winner, was a great teammate, was unbelievable in every respect. Won the Heisman Trophy, won two national championships, was the poster child for all that is right about college football. Went to the NFL. And it just didn't work out. He just wasn't a great quarterback. And that was his dream. Now the guy is actually trying to be a professional baseball player and is doing reasonably well. AA, AAA. And he's an older guy. And he's like, you know what? I haven't played baseball since I've been in high school. I'm going to go try it out. But here's the point of Tim Tebow. I've heard people say on ESPN or other news broadcasts that when they have an encounter, they hear all these stories about Tim Tebow, about how great and dynamic and inspirational he is. And I've heard people say in the news industry, the sport news industry, that when they spend 5 minutes with Tim Tebow, and you have to imagine these guys might be my age, 45, 55, 65, and Tim Tebow's now probably 30 or something, but even when he was like 25 to 30, these sport broadcasters would say that was the most impactful 5 minutes of my professional life spending time with Tim Tebow. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having that type of impact on everybody you came in touch with, that when everybody walked away from an interaction with you, they said, that was the most impactful and positive and inspirational 5 minutes I have spent with anybody in my life professionally. That is what those gentlemen said about Tim Tebow. And I heard it said. I don't remember whom from. I have heard that said about Tim Tebow. But that makes me think about what we're saying here. The first thing I thought of was that conversation somebody had with Tim Tebow, where you can sit there and say that. Tim Tebow is all about 10Xing his life. All about it. He is sitting there trying to figure out how to be the best he can be and how he can compete, be involved with athletics, be involved with a team, be involved in competition, be involved in trying to win games. All that stuff. That's what he wants to do. So much so that he said, I'm going to go give baseball a try. And he started out in the rookie league as the lowest end rookie possible. And he's like, I don't care where I start. I don't care where I start. I know that my goal is to be a Major League Baseball player, and I'm willing to do what it takes to try to get there. And I'm going to do it every single day. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be the first there, the last to leave. I'm going to take care of my body. I will be on the bus with these 18-year-olds that are just trying to do it. And I'm like 25. I'm 27. I don't care. I'm going to be super passionate about it and do what it takes to be the best I can be. I'm going to 10X my life relative to this. And you know what? Those 20 other kids, 25 other kids on this bus that are all 18 years old and in the rookie league, I'm going to 10X their lives too. I'm going to 10X my life, but I'm going to 10X the lives of the people around me. And I have written and highlighted under that phrase in my notebook, serve. I'm going to 10X your life by serving you. And what is, I think this is all team and business and, you know, leadership and coaching and the IT team down the street that they, that is listening, that doesn't think it's that important, or the IT team of five, or the guy that is a part of an IT or software team that has been doing it the same way for so long and is just stagnant, rolling in there and say, we can do better, we can be better, we can have more, achieve more, provide more value, we can learn more, and I'm going to 10X my life. I'm going to 10X my life professionally as a software developer at this company, and this is how I'm going to do it, and I'm going to lay it all out. I'm sitting in a bus with 18-year-olds going to the next game at 28 years old, and I'm going to 10X that crap, and I'm going to do it here as my software, with my, as a software professional. And then you sit and say, what's that look like? And then so much so, I'm going to sit back and say, Billy and Sally and Judy and Tom across the way in the next cubicle, how can I also 10X their lives? How can I 10X this experience for them? Not just make it better, not just making it better, right? I'm not just taking Judy to go get a cup of coffee and tell her how great she is today. So here's to circle this all around, because now I'm super inspired. To circle this all around, I'm sitting around saying, I got to 10, like those kids that come on November 1st, they're not 10X'd November 2nd. Man, that grind takes time. But February 28th, did we 10X it? And I'm being honest, like right now, like that's the outcome, right? The outcome is to sit back and say, shit, did we 10X it? Did we 10X them in 4 months? No, we didn't. And that's on me as a coach and a leader. We didn't. We 2 or 3X'd them. I came up with strategies on the last 2 weeks of the last month to this session. I figured out how I could have 10X'd them. I'm not going to beat myself up about it. What I am going to do is just figure out how I can 10X myself and 10X the people around me. And if you're listening and you're a leader, man, I really hope that you sit back and say, man, something's, I don't have it here in my notes, but I wrote something down this week that essentially said, you got to lead yourself first. You want to be a leader? Lead yourself first. You want to inspire other people? Inspire yourself first. It's got to start with you first. then you can do it for other people. So the first thing is, man, I've got to 10X my life. And I've got to 10X it with my body and health and emotions and relationships and time and career and money and my faith. And I've got a 10X. Imagine if I 10X'd all seven of those things and they were all off the charts. And then I could also 10X the people around me professionally and my relationships and other people's health maybe. And I could figure out how to do all that sort of stuff and be an inspiration to other people in other ways. So I hope that leads you into your week. I'm super inspired right now. And I know that that was heavy basketball stuff at the beginning, but I really wanted to paint that picture. The more I do the podcast, the more I interview, the more people I talk with, the more I hear the word storytelling. The ability to tell a story and keep people engaged and have them put themselves in that position, that spot. I hope you were in the basement dribbling basketballs with me and with these kids. And really sitting there with them and saying, I'm getting better. And I'm not going to be better tomorrow, but I'm going to be better February 8th, February 28th. And having that mindset. And then being sitting there saying, I'm going to 10X it. And then I'm going to 10X these other people. It's a great message. Not for me. It's just a great message for me. Not from me. And let me just leave with this last thing because I do have to wrap this up. And I'm not going to say too much about it. Everyone, this is my notes from this week. Everyone has Michael Jordan talent at something. Just find it. Be purposeful in your exploration on your Michael Jordan talent. And I hope you find it. I know that's just something to throw there at the end, but it really is 10Xing your life and figuring those things out. 10X it. 10X your life. 10X the lives of the people around you. Have a great week. I'm going to end my podcast now with this. The name of our podcast, because it hit me with some of the people I've talked with this past week and some of these great, the caliber of our guest is amazing. And I had this gentleman last week at the end, and it'll be released in a couple weeks from now, but he essentially ended our podcast for us. He was like, get out of your cube. So that is how I'm ending the podcast. Have a great week. 10X your life. 10X the lives of people around you. And get out of your cube this week. Take care. Look for all the other guests that we have lined up, and the caliber has been amazing. And again, get out of your cubicle. Have a great week.